episode to hear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day and listening here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We pray that you have a wonderful day. I've got good news for you. Later on today, spring officially springs into action. Winter will officially be gone. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Where I was at, I was in Oklahoma. It was cold, and it didn't matter that it was the middle of March or anything like that. It was just cold. But we do know that spring is coming, and I do not complain about the cold weather because I know that the other option is hot weather. And I prefer the cold rather than the hot because you can always add more on. You can't always take more off. There is a limit there. So we want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any help with your block or concrete work you need to have done, give them a call. They have decades of experience. They've got lots and lots of practice. More than that, they have expertise that will benefit you in the long run. I don't know if you've ever been around some job sites and you see something and it was not thick enough or something like that. But these folks do it right. They know all of the codes. They know all of the different strengths. I read an article here recently, and it talked about that the concrete of today is vastly different than concrete used to be. They are very familiar with working the material, and when it needs to be worked, they're there to work it, and you will get a wonderful product as a result of that. If you've got a renovation project that is coming your way, give them a call. 321-536-5804. That'll be one less thing that you have to be distracted about. Just put it in their hands, and they will take care of that, and you can move on to other things. You know, one of the things I was always a great fan of, and that is you surround yourself with people who have skills that are better than yours, people who are smarter than you are, and you get out of the way and you let them do their work. That's what happens if you call Jits Concrete. They know how to do it. You won't have to micromanage them. They will do it quickly, efficiently, and expertly. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. So roughly about 5:58 tonight is when spring officially becomes spring here in Brevard County. And we pray that you enjoy that. From what I've been told, the moon will be at its closest point of the entire year. That means it's going to be larger and brighter to our eyes than it traditionally is. So if you get a chance, go outside, take a look up in the nighttime sky, and enjoy God's beautiful creation. So this coming day, we are going to be preaching at Merritt Assembly of God. We'll be back. I've been away for a couple of Sundays. My wife and I went away and visited my family out in Oklahoma. Last three times I've been there, the weather has not been kind to us. So I don't know when I'm going back because I don't want to be a part of that anymore. Actually, while we were traveling out there, someone from our church sent me a text message, said, "Hey, I'm praying for you. There's a bad storm system coming through your route," and we weren't listening to the radio or anything like that, and we were driving, but we noticed that the signs on the expressway, I mean, they were just rocking back and forth violently, and when we finally got to our destination, found out that that storm that we drove through, about that same area that we drove through at the time we were driving through it, there were tornadoes dropping down out of the sky in that area. And so we were very thankful that God took good care of us. He's got a long history of taking good care of his people, and I'm so glad that he took care of us. So thank you to those who were praying for us as we were traveling. We're going to be visiting today Isaiah, the 58th chapter, Isaiah 58. I've got a friend of mine. This is a very powerful passage of scripture for him. And today we are still talking about from the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, the section where it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We're talking about God's leadership in our lives. And Isaiah chapter 58 is one of those passages. I'll read the verse to you at the beginning, and then we will go back and read the context and get you up to speed, okay? Verse number 11, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." So let's go back and read, because I don't know about you, but God leading me continually, or God guiding me continually, sounds like a very good deal. I need to find out how to get that leadership into my life. So look at verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 58. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head with like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and after that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday." That brings us to verse number 11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." If we want God's continual guidance into our life, we have to have God give us an accurate picture of where we are in relationship to him. The beginning of chapter 58 says that Isaiah needed to confront the nation of Israel with their sin. God still calls sin, sin. He still calls wickedness, wickedness. It doesn't matter if you put a different label on it. It doesn't matter what you rename the event or the action, the mindset. God still looks at it as he always has. What was sin 2,000 years ago is still sin today. What was sin 50 years ago is still sin today. God's definition doesn't. Man tends to do that, but God doesn't. And as a result of that, if we do not bring out the reality that sin is a painful experience in your life and it separates you from the plan of God, the pleasure of God, the presence of God, if we don't deal with that, then people are left in bewilderment. They're left confused because they say, we're going through all of these actions. We are taking all of these steps. And God, you just aren't paying attention. Isn't it interesting? People who ignore God's plan, God's commandments, God's word, and embrace a sinful lifestyle, and yet they still cling to a few things that they always look at God as if he is the problem, that he is the one who is in neglect of his responsibilities. And in reality, it's not God, it's us. And so they said, God, we've done all of this thing. We are depriving ourselves. We have fasted. You've not seen. You've not heard our prayers. You've not answered our cries. And God says, you're going about this all the wrong way. So let me cut a little bit to the chase here. And that is this. If we want God to guide us continually, the next step is ours. The next step is that we need to be fasting the way that God wants us to fast. And that is not a fast that is inactive. It is a fast that is proactive. It is a fast that manifests a concern and compassion for the people that God wants to redeem. And so if you look at this, the first 10 verses of Isaiah, you will see that it is a fasting that involves seeking God. Not just having a monologue with God, but actually seeking him, seeking his face, crying out to him, and be more concerned with listening than we are with talking. The reality is God knows what we have need of before we even ask, but he wants us to ask. We want God to speak, and then we never give him an opportunity. Have you ever been in one of those conversations where a person is just talking as fast as they can, and they're just going on and on and on and on and on, and they keep asking questions, and you have an answer that you want to give to them, but they never stop long enough of their talking, and they're rapidly, they don't even take opportunity to breathe. And if they would just give a person a little bit of an inclination as to that they could cut into the conversation, that they could give an answer, but these people just keep just like that. You're saying, you know, I don't know if you remember the FedEx commercial from years ago about the guy who talked faster than anybody else, but when you are concerned about just getting through as quickly as you can, you miss out on the opportunity of receiving input. If we want God to continually guide us, we need to seek his face with an intent on finding out what God has to say about our situation. It goes on and describes that not only are we supposed to seek God, but we are supposed to take up a lifestyle of serving or ministering. Those two words actually mean the same thing. As a minister, I'm a servant. Paul identified himself as a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to serve. And if you've ever been in the service industry, that's actually one of the classifications of the economic or the economy of the United States is the service industry. There's the banking industry. There's the manufacturing industry. But if you've ever been in one of those situations where you were serving people, you notice that there's a big difference between people who serve well and people who don't serve well. And so you have to kind of look at that situation. I've been in places where people served with excellence, and I thought it was phenomenal. But, you know, there were other times when I've been in a situation where people just didn't care. They weren't busy. They were just neglectful. So he deals with the people of God, the covenant people of God, and he says, you need to minister to those who are in bondage. You need to minister to those who are in captivity, who, even if they wanted to be free, are not able to get free. You need to be ministering to those people. I want you to know today that if you've got strongholds in your life, it doesn't matter what that stronghold is, God can set you free. God is more powerful than the strongest prison. He is more powerful than the strongest addiction. He is more powerful than any genealogical mindset that you might have going on. He is more powerful than any financial stronghold that you may find yourself in. Listen, God wants to bring transformation to the situation. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, changing their geographic location was one thing. Changing their mindset was an entirely different matter. Not only does God want to set the captives free, he wants to change the way that we think to where we no longer think like people who are in captivity. He wants us to think like Jesus Christ. He wants to renew our mind so that we have the mind of Christ Jesus. And you could see the fruit of the Spirit, how he wants us to think that. He wants to equip us and empower us so that instead of us being held captive by our own mindset, that instead we take every thought captive and bring it into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So you start acting on behalf of those who are in bondage, start serving them and bringing them to freedom, and you're going to find that you're going to have God guiding on a regular basis. I saw a question a few weeks ago, and it was talking about would God be ministering to the hurting, or would he be sitting in church? And can I give you my answer to that? My answer is both. A lot of people think, well, he wouldn't be sitting in church because he would be out there ministering to the people. But Scripture says that God was worshiping in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. That wasn't just something he did on special occasions. He did it with regular. And you know what happened when he was in church? There were hurting people there, and sometimes demon-possessed people, sometimes sick people, and he sometimes uninformed people, and he ministered to them, and he changed their circumstances. He brought them out of their captivity. A lot of people think that if you just sit in church, that people will somehow come to you. We're actually called to go into all the world. And so if we're going to see the manifestation of God's guidance on a continual basis, we've got to be about God's business, and that is ministering to hurting people, people who are in captivity. The second category of people that he mentions are the hungry, the homeless, and the unclothed. These are people who have legitimate needs that are going on. Okay? In the Old Testament, God said that if we would walk according to the way that God wanted us to walk, that there wouldn't be any poor people in our society. That you can go back, you can look it up. He says, look, you're going to be the head, not the tail. You're going to be blessed coming in and going out. There was a promise that said, I'm going to take care of all of your needs. By the time we get to the New Testament, Jesus says this: you are always going to have the poor with you. There are always going to be those who are hungry. There are always going to be those who are unclothed. Is that because it's the will of God? No, it's not because it's the will of God. It's because we as a society are choosing to be oppressors instead of empowerers. We choose to rebel against God's word instead of obey and submit to God's word. And sometimes there are people who just flat out refuse to live God's way. They make choices that have difficult ramifications. It leads to lack instead of abundance. I know because I've been there. Okay? What you need at that point in time is a change of mindset. A change in the way that you think so that it affects the way that you behave. Okay? Now, back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, the poor you are always going to have with you. Now listen, you can help them any time you want. You know, it is one of the few things that you don't even have to pray about. Jesus said it's a matter of the will. Now, I want to know that when I help someone, that I'm not enabling them to stay in their prison, to stay in their hardship, to stay in their challenge. I'm looking to empower them to break forth from that situation. God's able to call you out. He is able to change that situation from not having any of these. There were the hungry, there were the homeless, and the unclothed. There are people who make choices, make the right choices. Everybody makes choices, but we need to make God's choices. And, you know, I've told this story before, and that is, close to 13, 14 years ago, something like that. I had a thing in my chest where it felt like my chest was doing butterflies. In my left shoulder area, just felt like there was a butterfly fluttering in my chest. And I went to the doctor. He sent me to get an EKG and then I did a stress test, and somebody called me an old man. And, I'll never forget that. I was in my 40s and they were humming "This Old Man" while they were getting me connected to the stress test. That made me feel real good after my wife told me what song it was. but he told me, he said, "Well, you don't have a heart problem." The cardiologist said, "You don't have a heart problem. You have a stress problem." And I realized that I was carrying some things as a pastor that I wasn't supposed to be carrying. And as a result of that, I was experiencing stress I was never supposed to experience. So I took a step back and I said, "God, if I'm not supposed to be carrying it, I'm not going to carry it." I will tell you this. I believe that the church is supposed to minister to these needs and present the delivering gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's to captives, whether it is to the hungry or the homeless or those who are in need of clothing, whatever their situation, we're supposed to couple that ministry with the truth of God's word. So earlier this year, we had a person preaching at our missions convention, and he talked about how he was in this foreign country and he preached from John 3:16. And there was a lady, and this was a communist country. And as he preached the gospel, this woman came up and she said, "For the first time in my life, I have hope." She was used to living as a state of hunger and just the bare essentials of clothing. And now here she was an old woman, and she grabbed hold of the speaker and she had him by the shirt. And she said, "You've got to tell everyone in this country about God," because they were told that God did not exist, that he was dead, and that the government was supposed to be their source. I believe that one of the things that we're experiencing in America is that there were problems that the church is supposed to be the agency that reaches out to, but society has said, "We don't want the church's solution, because the church is going to tell us Jesus is the solution. We think that we can make it without him." That's the wrong way to go about it. If we, God's people, will begin to minister to the hurting, that we cross paths with on a regular basis and not be like the Levites and the priests that were too busy and ignored the hurting and bleeding and robbed man on the side of the road. But instead, you know, we need to look at that person like the Good Samaritan and say, hey, what can I do to not only cause this person to live, but cause them to thrive again? If we would start ministering to hurting people like that, Isaiah says, let me quote, read it to you. The Lord will guide you continually. One of the things that we say is that we're blessed to be a blessing, and that we're like a conduit that God pours in to us and it flows out to those around us. And the other thing that I will say is if we're interested in hurting people, God knows exactly where they are. If we're looking to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, God knows exactly where they are. And he will guide us. If he can use us for his glory, he is going to guide us to where we can make a huge impact for his kingdom and for his name. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more about what happens when God guides us continually, because there are some benefits. It is not just God using us. We end up being blessed because we're in partnership with God. You really don't want to miss that as we go on and look at other aspects, the blessings, the benefits that come from God leading us and guiding us and directing our paths for his namesake. I do want to let you know, Sunday night of this week, we have our annual business meeting. So it will not be a typical Sunday night service. We will have Sunday morning service. And like I said, I will be preaching. But this coming Sunday night, we will not be having service. We're going to be celebrating what God had done. I'm going to share that at the business meeting, so I don't want to share that with you prematurely. But let me tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. There was something that was shared with our congregation last year, and God made it a reality. God is a faithful, loving, and compassionate God. So I pray today that God will use us for his glory. Let's seek his face. Let's hear from him. And as he brings us across people in need, let us not only share the love of Jesus, we want to do that, but we also want to meet their need as well. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Eclipsed by glory, and I'll realize just how beautiful you are.